Blog Talk Radio.
None other than the word of the Lord. And it's good to be here. We know that Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Or another writer said, every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So we thank God that we're able to be here. We're able to proclaim the good news. And that is called the gospel of the death, of the burial, of the resurrection, of the sending back the Holy Ghost, of the ascension, amen, after the resurrection, amen. He ascended, sent back the Holy Ghost, amen, for the believer, all of us that have been born again. We thank God for that. We just thank God just another time. What a blessing it is to be able to look into the Word of God. And that's where the answer is, in the Word of God. And I want to make sure, I'd like to welcome all of my Facebook listeners, all the Twitter listeners, all the Blog Talk friends. Thank God that we're here one more time. Amen. Here we are in the seventh month of the year, in the month of July. So we're still, amen, declaring unto you, like the Hebrew writer said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. And so on today, like to also give you our guest call-in number. That would be 646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566. Should you desire to call in, or should you have a question or a comment, we definitely welcome your questions or your comments. Amen. Just what a blessing to be able to have this time to be able to promote what thus saith the Lord over the airways, amen, using technology, and that would be Blog Talk Radio, Twitter, what a way to communicate, and also Facebook, and what a blessing it is to be able to do that. We have to move with technology, and we know that is even one of the end time signs, and that is in the book of Daniel. Daniel, the Lord inspired him to write, and he wrote that knowledge would increase. So that's the thing that people have to realize, that this technology, God has given the knowledge of the technology for people to be able to use. This social media didn't just happen to be, but God has given the knowledge. And even also on today, those of you that are aware the president had a Twitter town hall meeting, and people were able to send in questions, or on Twitter you would call them tweets, and he was able to answer as many questions as he did. I don't know exactly how many hours that it was, but I believe it was at it started at 2 o'clock Eastern time. I don't know exactly how long it was. So we have to take advantage of technology, and that we are doing. So this door has been open and known as Blog Talk Radio. And still people out there have not heard of Blog Talk Radio. They've heard of bloggers, which are simply people who blog or people who write their opinions or their rebuttals or whatever. And then that Blog Talk Radio, what an idea. Whoever came up with it, it's Blog Talk Radio. And then also, you can blog even while you dialogue. They have so many, you can chat. There's different things that you can do even along with the Blog Talk Radio. And they're steady enhancing Blog Talk Radio even now. And within the last two or three weeks, they have done that also. So we thank God for that. So we're still declaring, amen, that there is one God, amen. Like the Bible said in Ephesians 4 and 5, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, amen. He says, who is above all and through all and in you all. And that is, he's talking to believers. He's talking to those, that church letter that he wrote was to the church at Ephesus, we call the Ephesians. And so this is what he's talking about. So many times when you hear we and they and us, biblical terminology, it's talking to people who have been born again. It's not talking to everybody. Knowing that the end of the law was in the Gospels. After the day of Pentecost is when the church was established, or the New Testament church began on the day of Pentecost. 40 days he was on earth, showing himself and many infallible proofs, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And he stepped on a cloud and was received out of their sight. 10 days later, he sent back the Holy Ghost, or the Ecclesia, who was called along to help. So he mentioned this in the 13th, 14th, 15th chapter, 16th chapter of St. John. He was talking about my Father is greater than I, and he, the Spirit of truth, has come. He's going to guide you into all truth. He's not going to testify of himself. He's going to testify of me. Whatsoever he shall see, that shall he speak. And he's going to tell you of things to come, talking about the Holy Ghost. That's one thing about a true man of God. If they're inspired by God and they're led by God, then they will say what God says. So we say what God says. We can't go wrong. So that's why I'm so adamant about even the name of this particular broadcast is entitled Truth. And the truth is going to come out. And so the truth is very important. Sometimes people say, well, it's not about what's right or wrong. But it is about what's right and what's wrong. It is about the truth. Because just like he said, the Master himself said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So truth of the whole matter is that nobody in their right mind. When I did prison ministry, we used to tell, and virtually all the time that I've done prison ministry, I started off in a men's facility for the first couple years. And then after that, they were moved. They ended up making the state facility where we were ministering God's word, teaching and preaching the word, exhorting the word. They made it, transferred the facility into a women's facility. And so what happened, we saw that as an open door for some sister ministers that belonged to our particular church, as an open door to get the sisters in to be able to minister to women in a women's state prison facility. And so what happened? That worked out. They gave them a Sunday, and they also gave us men a Sunday. And so we thought we were going to escape. So I never thought that I would be ministering to women in a prison facility, but we did that. We went in, we had Bible classes a certain times, but mostly we had evangelistic services, or we had worship services. We had services where they could ask questions, services. We even baptized women in the precious name of Jesus in the prison facilities on more, a couple of occasions at least. And even in a men's facility, we baptized men. So that's a blessing to be able to go unto those that were shut in. Even that's what the Bible is saying in the 25th chapter of Matthew, about when saw we thee a hunger or naked or in prison and all that. And he said, as much as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. So that's what it's all about, reaching out to someone else, some wayfaring soul, because God's word, like the writer Isaiah says, goeth forth out of his mouth. It's not going to return void. It's going to accomplish the thing that I sent it. And he said it's going to prosper in that which I please. So his word has already gone forth. It's not going to come back void. So we are just vessels. Amen. Living epistles, read and known of all men. Like we're going to see in our lesson as we go forth in the book of 2 Corinthians, which is a confirmation to the first book of Corinthians. So that's what's so important. Even nowadays, you can't just say, don't do as I do, but do as I say. No, God is not going to change. He's not going to come down to no man's level, but God is a holy God. He's the same one that put all the stars in place, all those millions, billions of galaxies, and he calls the stars all by names. You can read that in the book of Psalms. I mean, Job said he stretches out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. So God did all these things. That's in the book of Job. So he did all of this. And I know people are afraid. We're so politically correct and ashamed, really. We keep saying the man upstairs and all that. No, he's God. His name is Jesus. He is the great I Am back there in the book of Genesis that the Bible said in the beginning God. Then as we go on, his name was God Almighty under Jacob and Isaac and all of them. And then his name was Jehovah. And then after you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah anymore. He's the same God. Amen. He is Jesus. He was in the world. That's why I read that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so he says, goes on in the 14th chapter of the first book of John, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's talking about Jesus. That's the office that God is in now. That's why we haven't got to the book of Hebrews. We may go through that one time, but the Bible says God, the first word in the book of Hebrews, the first chapter, comma, who at sundry times and in divers manners has in time past has spoken unto us by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. That's the office of sonship, who he's speaking to right now. And that's why when you read, just fast forward all the way in the last chapter of the book of Revelation, he says, I, Jesus, send mine angel to testify these things. I am the root of David, and root and the offspring of David. I'm the bright and the morning star. We know in the first chapter of Revelation, he said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. I'm the first and the last. Amen. We know when you go on a little farther, in the first, second, and third chapter of Revelation, he reveals himself even more. I'm the beginning of the creation of God. So it's all in Jesus. And so that's why we've come to this chapter, even at the latter part, that we're going to hopefully finish this up today, that God was in Christ, the writer says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So what we're doing as ministers, as servants of God, is beseeching people, begging people to be reconciled to God. Because we know what happened in the Garden of Eden. Adam disobeyed God. He willfully sinned. The woman was deceived. You can read in the book of 1 Timothy that he said Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived. That's why she has the anguish that she has in childbearing. Adam willfully sinned against God because he broke the commandment of God. And that was, he said, in the tree of the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat it. Don't touch it, lest she die. And so she was not there. He shouldn't have taken of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil and eaten it, or in past tense, he ate it, and he sinned. But that's why Jesus Christ came, like the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, and that's Romans 6 and 23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we thank God for that. And so there are so many things of people, and what I'm trying to do, like the Bible said, that's what the gospel is all about, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Because people have been wounded. People have been hustled by the church. And like I always say, and I'm not afraid to say, that is, God is not challenging people with money. And the sense, only thing God requires from his people is a tithe, which is the tenth, and a free will offering. God is not challenging nobody and hustling people out of money like some of these lying preachers are doing, and somebody needs to speak out against them, and I'm one to do that. So God requires the tithe, which is the tenth, and your offering that you give is a free will offering. As every man has purpose in his heart, so let him give, you know, not grudgingly and not of necessity, but God loveth a cheerful giver. So that's up to us to give whatever people call it a gift is money. The free will offering is up to us to be able to give that. And so that's what we're endeavoring to do, is to tell you the truth. And you don't, even if you have been hurt or hustled by somebody, you want to be saved. You don't want to be lost. God have mercy on those preachers that are hustling folks out of money, that are in error, supposing that gain is godliness. This is what Apostle Paul told his son in the Gospel, Timothy, said, from such turn away. So, and then some people, they say, I heard a man, a very educated man, on the other Saturday talking about money was the root of all evil. I mean, his dialogue and everything that he was saying, this guy is a professor, fine. Everything he said is good, what he was saying. But yet the little words are so important. He said money is the root of all evil, but he left out some words. But the Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And so he was telling the man of God to flee these things, to follow after righteousness, after charity, and all that. And above all, that you may lay hands on eternal life. So we thank God that, like I said, we're moving forward with this confirmation book in 1 Corinthians. And also I have our historian with us on today, in the person of Elder Ryan Fountain. Like I've said before, I thank God for his dedication. He's busy, and he's an educator. But he so has it in. He's an educator in the public school system. But he's been called by God as a servant of the Lord. And thank God that he has it in his heart. He has a passion to also do the same thing that others of us are doing, and that is to tell you the truth.
Amen.
And the truth, and the Bible is the truth when it's rightly divided. So we're going to bring him forth in his own way, Elder Ryan Fountain.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. I thank Elder Cannon once again for a glorious yet unneeded introduction. I truly appreciate his dedication to this radio show and bringing forth the truth unto the whole world. This is a worldwide ministry with this radio broadcast. though we broadcast from a little office in Belleville, Michigan, it hits the entire world through the internet phone lines. Amen?
Amen.
So I appreciate his dedication, and I try my hardest to reflect that dedication by my dedication. And it doesn't always work out as we hope, but God knows where our heart is and where we want to be. Amen. So, and we now are showing that we and I looked at it earlier today that on Facebook there's an invite for all of our Facebook listeners, that there's an invite prior to the show. Elder Cannon posted on his page to inviting you to come listen to our show, and we hope that you take heed to that invite and come listen to us sometime. Amen.
Amen.
And if you want to know where we are from, I don't know if we ever really talked about this. Where we are from? We are from Church Jesus International Ministries. We are of the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World. We are located in Belleville, Michigan. Our current location is 9820 Haggerty Road in the Haggerty Center. This is where we make our broadcast from. Our pastor is Pastor Larry Clifton. We are two of the elders that are within the church under his tutelage and under his direction. We are broadcasting unto you this day.
Yes. And also we are affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, Incorporated, located out of Indianapolis, Indiana. And our presiding bishop is Charles H. Ellis III from Detroit, Michigan. And most of you all have heard of Greater Grace Temple.
Amen.
So that is the headquarters that we're out of. And we know you can't. There's no such thing as a non-denominational church. There's no such thing as an independent church, but the church is the body of Christ, just like the apostles' headquarters was at Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's ironic, even so people, we're all human beings, and so it's on us to be what God is calling us to be, but we're not going to hold back, and we're not limited to, we have freedom in the Holy Ghost to say what the Bible says.
Amen.
So this, just like this very book that we've been talking about here for a number of weeks, the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, was a gifted church beyond measure. But they had their immoral things going on, and that's why the Apostle Paul had to set the church in order.
Amen.
So that's the thing, that's people are going to be lost. If folks are going to be lost, and that is even people... What you got to realize is your morals are going to make you or break you. You can't just live any kind of way. And that was
yes.
This beef with this church.
Yes.
You can't be committing adultery. Are you a man? You got a boyfriend or you got a girlfriend? You're supposed to keep yourself under your wife if you got a if you have a wife. If you a woman, if you have a husband, keep yourself under him. So our morals is so very important. You can't just do what you want and cover it up. God's not coming down to nobody's level.
Amen.
We got to come up to His.
Amen. And as children of God and as the church of God, we are put into the place under Jesus Christ. We're put into the place of priests.
Yes.
So we are actually the priests of God in this day. He has switched the priesthood from the Levitical priesthood unto a Melchizedekian priesthood, and we are under that priesthood. So we are technically priests.
Yeah.
And if you look at the qualifications for a priest in the Bible, and you look at it through what the Levitical priests had to do, they had to keep themselves clean, they had to keep themselves holy in order to do the sacrifices, and they sacrificed throughout the entire day. The sacrifices always went forth, there was always a sacrifice being made throughout the entire day. So you have to keep yourselves clean. You have to keep yourself holy because you are a priest, and you're also a king. And it says, a king also had to keep himself morally upstanding and above what the rest of the people were at. If we look in the book of Proverbs, I believe it's around the 30th chapter. It's the 30th or 31st chapter where he speaks of the king should keep himself from strong drink.
Mm-hmm.
It's 31 and, well, let's start at verse 1. It's the words of King Lemuel.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is words from a king.
Mm-hmm.
The prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and to what, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings.
Mm-hmm.
So one way, this isn't just talking about any woman that will destroy a king. This is talking about strange women or
right.
women outside of the bond of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give yourself unto these types of women because that gives away all your strength. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. So, if we take on those strong drinks, if we take on wine and become wine bibbers or become drunkards, we tend to forget the things that God has taught us through his law and through his word. So, we will not be able to be good judges because, again, that is another qualification of a king. You had to be a judge. So in this day, we are kings, so we technically are judges, as Paul explained to the Corinthian church in the 7th chapter of the first epistle that he wrote to them. We are judges. We will judge the world. So they are judged by how we conduct ourselves and how we have our conversation with them. But if we have a distasteful conversation with them, how are we truly judging those that come up against us? Amen?
Amen.
So we have to have ourselves of a higher standard than the world, because we are of royal seed, and we are of a priestly seed, and we're also of a prophetic seed also. We are all prophets in the sense that we know the mind of God through the Holy Ghost, which is in us,
yeah.
that sheds light of the knowledge of his dear son. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to hold ourselves as children of God to a higher standard. We cannot mix and mingle with the world and say that, well, a drink now and then is all right. Well, it's not all right. We have to hold ourselves to a higher standard. We have to hold ourselves to a higher measure in order for, again, they need to step up to us rather than we stoop down onto their level, because we have to hold ourselves as an example of God in this world. Amen?
Yeah.
And that's not to make ourselves, put ourselves on a pedestal to make ourselves of high mind or make ourselves a proud people, but we have to have the sense enough to know that we cannot go around drinking and fornicating and committing adultery and then turn around and say that you're not supposed to do these things. It's a hypocritical
yeah.
way of thinking, to think that you can do these sorts of things and then turn around and say that, well, you're not really supposed to do these, just come on with me. No one's going to follow if you are a hypocrite. Amen.
Right, right. And see, the Bible tells us to be talks about perfection, to be perfect. And the Lord wouldn't tell you to do nothing that he knew you couldn't do. But people are afraid of the term perfect or biblical perfection, which is only talking about one thing, and that is maturity.
Maturity.
When you
yeah,
study
man.
The scriptures. So he tells you to be perfect. He's wanting you to be mature. So we people throw off and say people are dealing with stuff and all that. No, it's all right if you're battling. The battle is in your mind. But you can't give in. That's like the song says, yield not to temptation.
Mm-hmm.
But also the scripture says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above which, that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it.
Amen.
So this is Apostle Paul admonition to them. I think it's 1 Corinthians 10 and 17 where he wrote that at. So you're going to be tempted. You're not glorified yet.
You're going to have a battle.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen. You're going to have a battle. But that's what the Holy Ghost is for, is to help you with that battle. Because before, you would have to succumb to that because there was nothing inside of you that was able to sustain you in order to keep away from those types of lusts and those types of desires and those types of things that are going on inside you. There's nothing to stop or inhibit those types of actions. But now we have the Holy Ghost as a helper, as a comforter, as a teacher, as a friend to help us along with our path and to help us in our battle within ourselves so that we may shine our light unto those that need help. Amen?
Amen.
So we want to continue on our journey through 2 Corinthians. We are in the fifth chapter. We've been here for quite some time now, I think a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about how there is going to be a change within us. We're going to put off our tabernacle. We are going to put off this house on this earth and put on a heavenly house. We also talk how we walk by faith and not by sight, and what that is pertaining to, that we are not looking at our present situation, but we are looking rather at our glorious end. So we know that everybody sits before the judgment seat. We talked about that the judgment begins at the house of God. So once you put on Christ, your judgment now begins in the house of God, and then therefore you are able to sit in judgment and sit in the judgment seat at the time of the great white throne of judgment. We know the fear of the Lord. I believe we're in verse number 12 now. We're in verse number 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, or the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust that we also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but we give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, and if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So we know the fear of the Lord. We know the mind of God. We know what God's judgment is upon this earth. We know what God wants for all of mankind. And we are made manifest unto God as sons of God, because he sent forth his son made by a woman, that we may take on the adoption of sons. And we put off ourselves in order to be closer to him. Amen?
Amen.
We should, when it says that if one died for all, then we all died. So we all were dead through Adam. We all died through Adam. We all took on the attribute of death through Adam, because there is no death in God. And before Adam took the fall, he was in God's image. He was made in the image of God, so he had all the attributes of God, and one of those things was not death. It was only until he was disobedient to the word of the Lord that he took on a new attribute, which was death. And through his death, we all now have obtained death. And so he died for all, and then Jesus Christ came and he died for everybody that we may live in him when he rose again. So now once he is risen again from the resurrection, we now are able to obtain to that resurrection and come back into the place of eternal life where God has intended for us to be the entire time. This was all part of God's plan.
Yeah.
And God's plan was that man should be an eternal being, not a being that would waste away back to the dust of the ground from whence he came. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. So, we have to understand that there was a time where Jesus Christ walked on this earth, 33 and a half years, 3.5 years in ministry. He walked on this earth in a human body. This is how we knew Jesus Christ after the flesh, because he was made in flesh. He was made in sinful flesh, yet he had no sin. But now, we don't know Jesus Christ after the flesh. I've never seen Jesus Christ in the flesh. Elder Cannon, I don't believe you've seen Jesus Christ in the flesh.
Never seen.
I don't think there's anybody on this earth today that truly can say they saw Jesus Christ in the flesh, because we know not Jesus Christ after the flesh any longer, but we know him by his Spirit. We see Jesus Christ through the Spirit of Christ. And how do we see the Spirit of Christ? We see the Spirit of Christ working through other men. I see Jesus Christ working through Elder Cannon. Elder Cannon should see Jesus Christ working through me. This is how we see Jesus Christ, through his Spirit working upon mankind. Amen?
Amen.
So this is how we know Jesus Christ after the Spirit, not by the flesh. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Why? Because Jesus Christ is inside of him. He put off his old man, the old man, the old flesh figure. Essentially, let me give this example, that Ryan Fountain on May 1st, 1998, went down into a pool in Jackson, Michigan, and got baptized in the name of Jesus, and he got left into that water. And the person that they brought back up out of that water was a completely clean vessel. It wasn't Ryan Fountain any longer. But then when the Holy Ghost came inside of me on that same evening, now I am a new creature, and really my name now is Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
I take on that name. I'm sealed with that name.
Yeah.
If we go to Ephesians, and I might be kind of, I don't remember exactly where the scripture is. I believe it's one in one and maybe it's chapter two, that we take on that. Gather one thing in Christ. Who first trusted in Christ? It says where the heavens are named after, or the all those that are in heaven are named after. We are truly named after Christ.
Yeah, yeah, it's first.
We have to know that we take on that name, and that we no longer are taken by our given name. So those that say that we bear a slave name, we bear a name for governmental purposes, and this is how people know us.
Yeah.
We're not saying that this is some sort of slave name that others that take the point of view that we are not truly have real names. This is not what we're saying. What we're saying is that my mother gave me a name, and I have a last name or a family name that was given by my father's side of the family. But when I went into the water, I came up a completely new creature. So yet they know me as Ryan Fountain still, yet truly in the church we know no man after the flesh, but we know each other as Jesus. We know each other as a little Jesus, amen? So we are named after him because we are named, we come in the Father's name. It's in the book of Ephesians somewhere. I have to find that and bring that back next week. That he, there's all things in him. Anyway, we'll keep on moving and we'll find that again next week. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Who's the us? The church. The church now has the ministry to reconcile mankind back unto God, because the mediator went forth, that was Jesus Christ. He was the only one that was able to relate to man, because a mediator has to relate to both sides. He related both to mankind because he was made of a woman, but he was manifested by the Holy Ghost. So he was completely God, yet completely man. This is the only man in the history of mankind that was able to make this sort of claim. He was the eternal I Am. That spirit entered himself into a body. He prepared himself a body and placed that body within the womb of Mary, let it grow for 9 months within her womb, and then brought it forth and had it wrapped in swaddling cloth. And yet, the angel still had to come down and bow down to this baby. Who is man that thou art mindful of him? They're looking at and in amazement that God has wrapped himself in swaddling cloth, wrapped himself in flesh, and has come to this earth in order to redeem mankind. Yet they still had to come down and bow. Now they say, well, if God was down in this earth, who was sitting in heaven? God was still in heaven, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It's Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, the 15th verse. Amen. Thank you, Elder Cannon. I knew it was in Ephesians.
Yeah.
It says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, starting at verse 11, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family, I'm part of that family.
Yeah.
The whole family in heaven and earth is named. So we have a new name that we take on. We are named after Jesus Christ. When we take on that adoption, when you rise up as a new creature, you take on that name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen? I knew that scripture was in there. I just couldn't think of it off the top of my head. I knew it was in Ephesians.
Right. So our last name is, my name is Michael Cannon, Jesus.
Jesus.
His name is Ryan Fountain. Jesus.
Amen.
I never forget, there's an older elder who's gone on to be with the Lord, but he made a very important statement one time, and he said, on your job, your name should be Jesus. So in other words, what he was saying was, brother or sister in the Lord, people ought to see Jesus in you.
Amen.
Some kind of way.
Amen.
That should be part of your name.
That should be part of your makeup, because everything that you have is because of that name.
Yes.
You have salvation through that name. You have reconciliation through that name. You have justification through that name.
Right. And we're not talking about somebody on a spiritual tantrum. So every time somebody see you, hallelujah, just on the going nuts and all that. No. There's something different about you.
Yes, yes. So, thank God that we found that scripture, that we didn't have to wait a whole week to find that
right
for you.
And it's just funny. Let me just say this, a little injection. One time we were just elders, a good brother. He's an older gentleman. We were eating dinner at Bob Evans, I think. Somebody asked him to pass the sod or whatever. He said, thank God. And the bishop, he said, no, thank you. You know, I mean, we're not so spiritual that we don't have common sense.
Amen, amen. So I thank God, and I thank Elder Michael Cannon for helping me to find that scripture. So with that, we will get right back into what we were talking about. So God was in a human baby body.
Yeah.
He came down, and the angels had to come down and worship him. And now we ask the question, who was in heaven ruling on the throne? Well, God was still ruling on heaven. He never ceased to be that which he was.
Right.
He is. You have to believe that he is.
Right.
He is the verb out of the verb to be. He can be whatever he wants to be.
Yeah,
amen.
He never ceased to be who he is.
And so that is the connotation of the name I am that I am. Whatever I choose to be, I will be that. Yet I will never cease to be that which I already am.
Yeah.
I am that I am.
Yeah.
So although I am the lamb, I'm also the door.
Yeah.
Although I am the shepherd, I am the sheep. Although I am the house, yet I am the door. Yet I am that which went through the door. Yes, that's when I am the one that is leading you through the door. Amen?
Right.
So I am all of these things. I can be that. Everything that was in the tabernacle was a representation of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I am the lamp, yet I am the shewbread. I am the altar, yet I am the curtains. I am the floorboards. I am the walls, the sockets. I am all
and
of
the
those
light.
Things. I am the light that shines through. Yet I am the one that sitteth on the ark, yet I am the one that is in the ark, yet I am the one that overshadows the ark. Amen?
Yeah, yeah, he's a great high priest. He's a bishop of our souls. He's a great shepherd of the sheep. He's an apostle of our profession.
I am all of these things.
Yeah.
So
the true bread.
When we say that he is the Son, yet he never ceased to be the Father.
Right.
And although he came back as the Holy Ghost, he hasn't ceased to be the Son and never ceased to be the Father still.
Yes.
So he can be all of those things in one God.
Yes, and yet and by him being the S-O-N, he is the S-O-N of the S-U-N.
Yes,
he
amen.
He is sure enough, Son.
Amen. So he is all things, and he came to reconcile us back unto himself. To with God that was in Christ, that's a plain statement right there.
Yeah.
And the church of God in Christ, they should have that revelation. But God was in Christ, not a second person, but the God of the Old Testament, the God that was in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That same God was in Christ. Christ was the first, the beginning of the creation of God.
Mm.
It says that in the book of the Revelation. He is the beginning of the creation.
Yeah.
So the first thing that God thought of was the body of Christ.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that came into his mind, into his creative mind, that when he's coming out of eternity, coming into time, yet this is, and that is how God does what he does, is because he is not a creature that is constrained by time. Although he comes into time, yet he is an eternal God and actually operates in eternity rather than time.
Yeah.
I know that's a kind of a difficult thing to grasp, but our thoughts are not his thoughts, our ways are not his ways. So he knows what he's doing. He knows how he does what he does. We are not to question that, but we know that God was in Christ, was able to work through the body of Christ, yet reign from heaven, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So what did he impute unto us rather than our trespasses? He imputed righteousness unto us.
Yeah.
He gave unto us righteousness. How did he give unto us righteousness? Through the death of his cross and through his resurrection and giving us his spirit. That's how he imputes righteousness unto you. He's able to take away sin from you. Amen.
Yeah.
He's able to take away all of your trespasses from you through the baptism in his name and through the precious gift of his spirit.
Yeah. And just like he said in the Gospels, that we're going to sit down in the kingdom of heaven with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, they got it too. It was imputed unto them after the death, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when the saints rose, the Old Testament saints, it was imputed unto them.
Mm-hmm.
Imputation. It was imputed unto them. They didn't have to speak with other tongues as we do after the day of Pentecost, but it was imputed unto them.
Yes.
So now when we receive the Holy Ghost, we will speak in another tongue or another language as the Spirit gives us what to utter.
Amen. So now then we are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you by us. So God was searching you out.
Yes.
You on this airway, God's searching you out by us. By us preaching his word, because he has given us the word of reconciliation. So this is the words that every preacher should be speaking unto the flock. And I know Elder Cannon was talking about those preachers out there that are preaching after gain. Those preachers are preaching to fleece the sheep and to take away and to literally make merchandise of you.
Yeah.
If we go to 2 Peter...
And Peter warned about these things coming in the last days.
Yeah, so this is the difference between the word of reconciliation and the word of a ravaging wolf
mm-hmm.
trying to make merchandise out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And in the book of John, he says that men will gather you up and make throw you in the fire to make themselves warm.
Mm-hmm.
If we look into the second chapter of the book of 2 Peter, he talks about the spots in the feast, and he
mm-hmm.
talks about those that are of Sodom and Gomorrah, and talks about Balaam.
But first he starts off in the second chapter of 2 Peter,
yes,
false prophets.
Yes, false prophets.
Yeah.
First verse, it says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't talking about a false minister. This is talking about somebody that was in the truth,
mm-hmm.
because the Lord bought them. The Lord actually bought these types of ministries,
mm-hmm.
these false prophets, these false teachers. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of.
Mm-hmm.
And through covetousness shall they with feigned words
mm-hmm.
make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So they will actually come with feigned words
mm-hmm.
or with words that are aimed to kill you, or aimed to take you out. They will make merchandise out of you in order to uphold their lifestyles,
mm-hmm.
in order to uphold what they want, their wants and desires, in order to... uphold what they want. They will actually sacrifice you. And instead of making themselves a sacrifice, they will sacrifice you
right.
in order to make themselves money.
And then not only, and then in the way that they do it, they always trying to put a challenge on you, like God is challenging you to get. We're not talking about, like I said earlier, about we're not talking about the tithe, which is only a tenth, and a free will offering. That is all God requires, not all of these $100 lines and all that kind of stuff. What they're doing, hustling people and telling you that God is challenging you. No, God ain't challenging you. Anything above what you're supposed to do, the tithe and the free will offering, anything else is up to you. He's not challenging you. And I've heard that lie myself.
A free will offering is that which you choose,
mm-hmm.
you freely choose. That's the whole term of the word free will.
Mm-hmm.
It is of your own free will. So if you only choose you want to give a dollar in the offering, anything above that dollar isn't a free will. That is not a cheerful giver. That is giving against what you really want to give.
Right.
So anything above your free will is really not in the order of God. And to give another scripture that goes along with
mm-hmm.
this, in the 15th chapter of the book of St. John, it says that I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me beareth not the fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that he may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now he's talking to the disciples here. This is, he's only talking to, really, the only ones that was in this room was the 11.
Mm-hmm.
Judas had already been cast out. So he's talking to the 11. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. So now, the apostles were to abide in them, in Jesus Christ, the apostles were supposed to abide, but then they were supposed to bear fruit and have others to bear fruit in the vine. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned.
Mm-hmm.
And for if ye abide in me, and my words abide in ye, ye shall do ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So now we see that men shall gather those up that abide not in the vine. If you don't abide in the truth, or if you have itching ears trying to find something that your ears want to hear that mm-hmm. that will satisfy that scratch, you're not abiding in the vine, and you will go out away from the vine, and you will wither, and you will die, and men will gather you up, throw you in the fire to make themselves warm,
mm-hmm.
to keep their comfort level up high. And how do they throw you in the fire? How do they keep themselves warm? By fleecing you and taking
mm-hmm.
all your money and taking
right.
all your goods and taking all your livelihood. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So, we're going to get through the fifth chapter today. And it says, to wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. He gave us the word of reconciliation. Now, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, or those which go forth in the name of Christ
mm-hmm.
in order to spread what it is his will is. We go forth as ambassadors, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. This is our prayer. This
mm-hmm.
is constantly our prayer, that you be saved. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That all men that are unsaved be saved by our words, or by the words of those that are preaching the truth.
Mm-hmm.
For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the him? Jesus Christ is the him.
Yeah.
So he was made sin for us. He was actually made sin and hung up on the cross and sacrificed as sin. He took on the role of the scapegoat, or the one that the priest laid his hands
mm-hmm.
upon, and all the sins of the people were cast into that goat, and he was sent out into the wilderness
mm-hmm.
and was to never be seen again.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how our sins were. We actually put our sins upon him. He died upon that cross, and those sins went down into the grave or into the sea of forgetting, and we were never to see those sins ever again in
mm-hmm.
life. So this is how he was made sin to us, that we may be made righteousness, or be made in righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And on that we will close. We will go on to the sixth chapter next week.
Amen. Amen. And we thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. And we hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, scene of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God bless you.